Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. We are now inside 200 days to go to the Games, and it's back to World Championship season in cycling and triathlon. The Queen's Baton Relay continues its journey around the Commonwealth as it heads to Gibraltar, Malta and Cyprus, as athletes are busily training and preparing for a shot at home Games glory. This week on the show, we'll speak with netballer Caitlin Thwaites, who is looking to make her mark as part of the Diamond Squad as they take on arch rivals New Zealand and the best of the Commonwealth next April. But before we speak with Caitlin, and as we count down with just 27 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. Commonwealth Games Australia and the AIS have announced that they will continue to partner on a number of key areas for Gold Coast 2018, including recovery services, performance planning and analysis, and the new Sidelines Champions program. CGA CEO Craig Phillips made the announcement alongside Australian Sports Commission CEO Kate Palmer at the CGA's Dare to Dream session at the AIS in Canberra. Commonwealth Games Australia has contributed an extra $2 million in direct funding to athletes via the AIS DAIS program, which invests more than $13 million a year directly in athletes. The Sideline Champions program has been designed by the AIS and the CGA to maximise support and minimise distractions for athletes by involving their family and significant others during the entire journey to the Games. The Triathlon World Series finals have wrapped up in Rotterdam, with Gold Coast nominee Ashley Gentle securing second place in the season-long World Triathlon Series. Gentle's sixth-place finish in the finals, or a finish second overall, to race winner and world number one Flora Duffy from Bermuda. Gillian Backhouse didn't do her Commonwealth Games chances any harm, finishing in 14th place, one spot ahead of second automatic nomination for the Games, Charlotte McShane, who finished in 15th spot. The Australian triathlon team finished the championships with 3 gold, 2 silvers and 1 bronze medals to go with the series silver to Gentle. In Commonwealth Games events, Games nominee Emily Tapp claimed a maiden world title in the para-triathlon wheelchair category. In the men's wheelchair event, Queenslander Nick Beveridge produced his best ever international performance in finishing fourth. In the elite men's events, Harvey Bay's Matt Hauser won the world junior title, and fellow Queenslander Luke Willian won bronze in the under-23 event, and they'll both be pressing for Games selection. Games nominee Jake Birtwistle was forced out of the men's event after falling ill. There are 2 further men's spots to be added at the discretion of selectors. At the Road Cycling World Championships in Norway, dual Commonwealth Youth Games gold medalist and closing ceremony flag bearer, Tasmanian Madeline Fashnak, has again shone on the international stage with a bronze medal in the junior time trial. In the senior women's time trial event, Queensland's Katrin Garfoot claimed the bronze in the elite women's race, her second successive bronze at the world titles. In the men's senior time trial, South Australia's Rowan Dennis finished in 8th place after crashing in the wet conditions. In athletics, less than 2 months after her 9th place finish in the marathon at the World Championships in London, South Australian Jess Trengove returned to the streets of Adelaide to take first place in the 2017 Australian Road Running Championships on the weekend. In the men's event, Rio Olympian Brett Robinson made a return to competition, taking the win after spending an agonising winter on the sidelines due to injury. Meanwhile, in Sydney at the Australian Marathon Championships, it was Victorian-based Ethiopian Magda Harun Haji who took the overall victory and won the women's title in a course record, a super fast 2 hours 28.06. Magda runs for Melbourne University Athletics Club, making her eligible for the Australian title, but she's currently unable to compete for Australia and international events until she gains citizenship. something which she hopes to secure in time for the Gold Coast Games. In the wheelchair event, Kurt Fearnley won his 11th Sydney Marathon title. In swimming, the International Paralympic Committee has made the hard decision to postpone the 2017 Para World Swimming Championships that were due to take place in Mexico City next week following the devastating earthquake that hit during the week. In light of this decision, the Australian Dolphins swim team of 17 athletes put on hold their trip to Mexico. At the moment, no alternative arrangements for the championships have been announced. In hockey, Hockey Roos forward Emily Smith has been unveiled as the new captain of an 18-member squad, which was announced for next month's Oceania Cup. Smith takes over from long-term skipper Madonna Blythe, who retired as the Hockey Roos' most capped player following the Rio Olympics last year. Coach Paul Gadoin opted for Smith to lead the team into next year's Commonwealth Games and beyond. With 163 caps and 65 goals, the 25-year-old Smith will be one of the most experienced players in the squad to take on New Zealand and Papua New Guinea in Sydney next month at the Oceania Cup. In rugby sevens, good news for the Australian men's sevens team with coach Andy Friend securing the signatures of seven key players for next season for the three big tournaments, which includes the Commonwealth Games. James Stannard, Jesse Parahi, Sam Meyer and rookie Ben O'Donnell have signed on until the end of 2018, with Simon Kennewell, John Porch and Liam McNamara all inking new deals until the 2020 Tokyo Olympic Games. And finally, it's been confirmed that the Queen's Baton Relay will arrive at Brisbane Airport on Christmas Eve, 100 days before the Games begin. It will mark the start of a 100-day journey across the country that will visit every state and territory on its way to the opening ceremony. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games news. Joining us now on Gold Coast Gold, one of Australia's best netballer, Commonwealth Games gold medalist, World Cup gold medalist, 29 caps for Australia, Caitlin Thwaites. Caitlin, thanks for your time. Great to have you on board. Exciting time for netball at the moment.
It is, yeah. I feel like it just keeps rolling on. The new challenges keep on coming. So, it's really great.
Had a really interesting quad series. The Diamonds were in such good form, and then all of a sudden a massive hiccup where the arch rivals, the enemy, New Zealand, gave the Diamonds a bit of a spanking. We don't like that.
Yeah, it was no, absolutely not. But I guess, you know, if there was a time for that to happen, it was probably good timing in the scheme of things, because we're sort of heading towards the next couple of big tournaments, and so to kind of, I guess, give us a bit of a kick up the rear end and make sure that we're, you know, dotting our I's and crossing our T's and not wanting to have those little hiccups again. I think it was probably good timing for that to happen. So.
It's good that you've got the opportunity to play them and the other emerging nations. When I say emerging nations, you know, England and Jamaica are every year they take one step closer to the big two of Australia and New Zealand. But with a new look Diamonds team, new captain in Caitlin Bassett, new vice captains in Gabby Simpson and Maddie Robinson, and some changes that Coach Lisa Alexander is putting in place, the fact that you get the opportunity to get out on the court on a regular basis is a real bonus.
Yeah, I think it's always been a really great thing, the way that the Diamonds calendar is kind of arranged, I guess. We're wanting to play against the top countries in the world, and we do that quite often. So we've, the last few years, we've had a quad series between us, New Zealand, South Africa and England. So and that was the one that was recently, and it's very clear that the rest of the countries are bridging that gap between us and New Zealand and the rest of the world. There's that gap is getting quite a bit smaller, because we saw England knock off the Kiwis a couple of times recently, and also South Africa beat England as well. So there's been a couple of kind of big scalps that have shown that the gap is getting a lot smaller, and it's definitely put us on notice that the rest of the world are gaining on us. So it's a good thing. Gives us just that little bit more motivation to get out there and do our best.
We'll touch on the Consolation Cup, which is coming up next a little bit later, but I just want to backtrack now and start at the beginning, like we do with all of our guests on Gold Coast Gold. And you grew up in country Victoria. How did you get into netball?
I think mainly just because it was, you know, a whole bunch of my friends were doing it. And, yeah, it was just initially from the very get-go, it was just something that I really enjoyed doing with a bunch of my friends. And I can say that that's been a strong theme throughout my entire netball career, is that it's, you know, it's so enjoyable because you get to get out there with all your teammates and make new friends. And, yeah, I think that's one of the most enjoyable things for me in playing netball.
So. Were you a Jet from the start?
It's good.
Were you a gun?
I guess from I was kind of talent ID'd pretty young, yeah. So and made, you know, the underage state teams and things like that. So going through, I was always, I guess, touted as a young potential talent, and it probably took me a few years to reach that potential talent. But yeah, I think you know, having a bit of height about me and things like that, it was obviously a big leg up, I guess, in terms of what netball athletes are looking for is there's positions for the shorties too. Let's say that. But yeah, it was definitely assistance given how tall I was.
So 188 centimetres now. How old were you? You know, when you were 13 and 14, were you standing out amongst all of your peers?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. I was always in the class photo in the middle row, the back row in the middle. So yeah, always taller than the boys. And so ever since a very young age, I've always been quite tall. And so I guess along my netball pathway, it's just been about kind of getting my my skill level and to be able to reach that potential that some of the coaches kind of saw in me from an early age.
But it wasn't just netball that had your attention, because you were pretty good at volleyball as well.
Yeah, I juggled both netball and volleyball for quite a few years there, and didn't really have a preference of one over the other. And I was playing in the underage. So, you know, under 17s, 19s, 21s, state teams for both netball and volleyball, and then made the Australian underage teams as well for both netball and volleyball. And it was getting quite difficult to be able to juggle the two sports, and just, I guess, in terms of the time constraints on me and when the trainings and stuff were actually happening. And, it got to a point where I was saying to netball, sorry, I can't come this week, and then saying to volleyball, sorry, I can't come this week. And, you know, they were both kind of at a stage where they were wanting to make me choose, and I really didn't want to have to choose between those two sports. And it was 2003 at the time when I made the decision and was forced into choosing one, and I actually chose volleyball because we were leading up to the 2004 Olympics, and the Australian women's volleyball team, the national team, we were trying to qualify for that. And I'd made the national team as a 16-year-old and desperately wanted to get to the Olympics, and so headed on up to the Institute of Sport as a 16-year-old. And the routine of 5 to 6 hours of training a day and going to school and all that kind of thing, and heading overseas for lots of the different qualification tournaments as well. And unfortunately, we didn't qualify, and I was heading into my Year 12 studies at that point in time, and really wanted to prioritise just finishing my school and getting that my VCE certificate done. And so I moved back to Bendigo the following year to finish my school, and the netballers kind of came knocking again and just said, hey, you know, we hear that you're back in town, and would you like to come and play while you're still juggling your study? And so I did that, and I've still dappled a little bit in the volleyball, I guess, but it would have taken, the next big thing for me to do with my volleyball would have been to have either gone to an American college or to get a contract over in Europe somewhere, and I kind of wasn't quite ready to be moving to the opposite side of the world and away from my family. So netball it was, and I've stuck with that and haven't looked back ever since.
It's an amazing journey. Do you look at Olympic time and think, gee, I wonder if qualifying for our volleyball teams has never been easy for Olympic tournaments. So does that make it easier if they're not there when you're watching?
No, I want the women, you know, the women's volleyball have never qualified in the Olympics, in the indoor, of our own right. So we were obviously at the Sydney Olympics in 2000 because we were the host country. But, the way that the ranking system is set up, we have to, we fall in the Asian zone, and the Asian zone in women's volleyball is probably the strongest zone going around. So for us to get into the top 16 in the world, we have to beat one of the top five in the world to get there, which is really, really tough, tough going. So I still keep in touch with a few of the girls, and it's really good to see them going well. And I'm good friends with Louise Borden, who, she's on track to head to the Com Games in for the beach volleyball side of things as well. She was in the indoor team when I was playing, and has been to three Olympics now, one for indoor and two for beach. So we do, the friends you make along the way, they tend to stick, so it's good.
Well, you've had some unbelievable experiences on the netball court, but it hasn't been an easy journey for you. You know, Kestrels changed names and Vixens, but the decision to go to New Zealand, where you decided to pack up your bags and head across the ditch and play for a New Zealand team, that to me seems a pretty extreme decision.
I guess it kind of was, and it felt a little bit like that at the time. But I guess my pathway to getting to play for Australia, and I'd kind of set out to be able to do those things pretty early on to get to playing at the top level and for Australia. And I was faced with a bit of a hurdle along the way, and hadn't had a great year, and was looking, the team that I was playing for at the time had recruited another goal shooter, and I guess that was a big indication to me that they weren't happy with the way that I was going, and they offered me a position, I guess, kind of, a bench position for the following year. And for me, I guess I kind of thought, well, I'm not going to get to where I want to go to in terms of playing for Australia if I'm going to be sitting on the bench. So I looked to all of the other teams that we had in Australia to see where, whether there was a position available for me to be, getting out on court and showing what I can do and those types of things. And all of the positions, all of the goal shooting positions in Australia were actually pretty full up at the time. And we've got some incredible imports that are, taking up those goal shooting positions in the team, in some of the teams as well. So, the Australian goal shooter positions were already taken up by the people who were already currently in the Australian team. So, I was faced with a bit of a, well, do I stay here and, deal with that and potentially not get much further if I'm going to be sitting on the bench? Or do I look at expanding my opportunities and go somewhere else and try to, learn some new things in a different environment? And that's what I ended up doing. And it was a really tough decision at the time because the Aussie coach at the time, Norma Plummer, had kind of made it pretty clear that if any of her players were to go and play for a New Zealand franchise, that she wouldn't consider them for the Australian team. And it's a similar thing to what the New Zealand the New Zealand players have got now. If they don't play in their own domestic league, they're not allowed to represent their country. So, in terms of me wanting to be out there on the court and playing, I knew that going over there, I was pretty much putting a black mark against my name as well. But I thought it would be better to be out there playing and learning new things, and potentially opening up my own skill set and things like that to then maybe be able to come back to Australia later on and continue to pursue that goal of playing for Australia. So I did that. I spent 3 years over in New Zealand. Absolutely loved my time over there in Wellington. Beautiful, beautiful place. And so I ended up managing to come back into Australia and into the Aussie squad, and the very first time I was named in the Aussie team of my own right was the year that we were heading away to the Glasgow Com Games. So So that experience of being over there playing against, it was almost like I was a bit of a spy, infiltrating the opposition and getting to train and learn all about what, you know, the way that their defensive zone were, sets up and all of those things, training with them and learning from the different environment has been really beneficial for me.
We're talking to Australian netballer Caitlin Thwaites. One of the things I love, Caitlin, when I'm talking to all the athletes, and you know, we've heard some amazing stories of resilience and setbacks that that athletes have overcome to get to where they want to be. And you've backed yourself, go to New Zealand, come back and make the Australian team is an incredible story of resilience and chasing that goal. Hasn't been easy for you though, because you know, just recently you talked about having to overcome both anxiety and depression in your younger years, early 20s, as you're going through your career. So how does all of that impact on your decision to go to, you know, pack up your bags and head off to New Zealand and go to that, you know, completely new environment? Or even the decision to not play volleyball versus playing netball and all of those things, all of those tough decisions you've made?
I guess in terms of the mental health side of things, it's been a really big learning, a bit of a journey for me. And, you know, it's nearly been sort of 10 years since I've been dealing with that now. And I'm in so much, you know, I'm very self-aware of, you know, what some of my symptoms or what my triggers are or things like that. So I can actually kind of intervene and assist myself before it actually gets to a point where it's affecting me too heavily. So that's been a really big learning curve for me over the last kind of 10 years of being able to, you know, to pick up on those signs and learn those things about myself and what is going to help and what isn't going to help. So I guess that's, you know, and it is something that I am going to have to, you know, it's not that I've been through one depressive episode and I'm cured, you know, it's something that I have to kind of constantly manage and will have to manage through, you know, for the rest of my life. And that's, I guess, you know, I guess that's, you know, the way that I see it is just keeping on top of my well-being, and I see it as a much more holistic view of myself as opposed to I kind of treat it like, well, I have to go and do my rehab for different physical injuries or my extra stretching or my recovery or things like that, and I also have to do the extra things that assist me with my well-being as well. So that's, I guess, kind of the way that I see that. But I guess in terms of the decisions and the things that I've had to make along the way, you know, some of those things have been really hard to be able to do, to move away from your family and your support network and things like that. But I guess in terms of the goals that I'd set myself and the things that I wanted to be able to achieve, I've taken those things on as challenges, and I guess I wouldn't have learnt a lot of the things that I have about myself or, you know, potentially even got to where I am if I hadn't have been put myself out there and gone ahead with some of those challenges and taken them full on. So it's, I guess I'm grateful for those things that have kind of happened, because it's, you know, made me a bit more determined and made me get out there and developed my netball, developed myself and all of my skills. And so I guess I feel like if I hadn't have hit some of those bumps in the road, I wouldn't be the person that I am. So it's been a good thing.
I don't want to set off an anxiety attack, but goal shooting's not the best for those that get a little bit nervous, I have to say. Sherelle McMahon was inducted into the Sport Australia Hall of Fame last year, and I spoke to her about the pressure of shooting in those clutch situations. Your career, 89% success rate, 589 goals from 664 attempts, 89%. An extraordinary, yep. It's one of the most extraordinary skills in sport, I reckon, shooting in netball. How do you deal with the pressure of all the play up the court? The ball comes into your hands and you're the one.
So I guess a little bit of it is around having the attitude of wanting the ball in your hands in those clutch moments. You want to be the one that, you know, has the ball in your hands. And so I guess it's kind of about attacking that opportunity. And, you know, the Michael Jordan's quote about, you know, he's lost so many games by by missing that clutch shot, but he's also won that many for his team by being the one that is taking that shot as well. So I guess that's a little bit of the attitude that I try to have about wanting to have the ball in my hands in those situations. And I guess the biggest thing for me is trying to stay in the present, and this is where some of the mindfulness type exercises come in handy, because you're not wanting to think about the outcome of whether the shot's going to go in and you're going to win the game, or if you miss it, you're going to lose the game. And you're not wanting to kind of dwell on what has happened in the past either. If you've missed the last two shots, then you don't want to be thinking about what's just happened. So really staying present within the action or within the skill set that you're actually just about to perform is probably one of the biggest keys for me. And I guess kind of keeping a lid on some of that anxiety. There's a certain level of anxiety which is actually helpful, and that's it's like when you're stepping out when you're about to run a 100-meter race, your heart starts beating a bit faster in anticipation of what you're about to do. So I guess it's about allowing that certain level of arousal to prepare you for what you're about to do, but without it spilling over into an unhelpful level of anxiety, I guess. So So I guess some of the girls in the change room put really loud music on, they're jumping around, all of that kind of stuff, getting ready for a game. But you'll see me, trying to keep it calm and sometimes having to step out of the room if the girls are getting a bit too rowdy for my liking, to try and keep a lid on my anxiety level.
So whilst our hearts are in our mouths, yours isn't. That's good news. I feel reassured when you've got the ball already. Off the court, what do you, you've started playing with the Collingwood Magpies in the new competition this year. Women's sport in Australia, we've seen the success of the Matildas and the AFLW and netball. It's just tremendous to see the opportunities of our women's cricket team that are taking place. But you're also working with Collingwood in an off-field role as well?
Yeah, yep. So I guess I've got a real passion for helping, whether it be at risk youth or disadvantaged people in different aspects of life. So I'm working through the Collingwood Foundation and in the community role for the club, and it's actually been incredible, a really big eye opener to me to see how much good the club of Collingwood actually does in the community. And I wouldn't have had any idea about that. I think, the media splashes good and bad things about the football team and all the rest of it all over there, all over the media. But to have actually had much more of a glimpse into the amount of good that they actually do in the community has been really amazing. So I guess, the multicultural inclusion space is something that I'm really passionate about as well. I'm an ambassador for the Australia Post One Netball, which is really big on that. And last year I was lucky enough to head over to India to see some of the girls. And I guess just see how netball as a sport can really empower girls, empower women, empower anybody, just get so much more out of their life and the connections that you build amongst a group of people together. And, those types of things are really give back a lot, I guess, to me. I get a lot out of doing that, and I hope that the programs and stuff that I've been involved in and help out with, I hope that they get a lot out of me being able to spend time with them and hopefully develop the girls, the people's skills that I've been involved with.
Just turning our attention quick and finally to the Gold Coast, you've experienced what it's like to be in the Diamonds team, winning world championships in 2015 and Glasgow, of course, for 2014. What's the road to being in the team? Constellation Cup coming up on from October 5 in Auckland. You're in the team for that. What do you have to do to actually make the final squad for the games?
So we've got a couple of tours still before Com Games. So the Consolation Cup coming up in a couple of weeks is the first one. And then another one is a quad series, which is held over in England and South Africa in January. So those two tours, I guess, are our last opportunity to really get out there on court to show the selectors, to show Lisa, the coach, you know, that we want to be out there and playing and performing at our best at the time when selection comes around for the Com Games. So, so the last two tours, and then we've got a Diamonds camp, I think, as well, which is where they will announce the team leading up to the Com Games. So, very exciting times heading up for us. And our regular season, the Super Netball season, won't start until after Com Games is finished. So, big couple of tournaments.
Absolutely. And aside from being in the team, I guess your goal would be to be on the court in the gold medal match. Do you look that far ahead, or do you just worry about making the squad first?
Well, I guess you kind of set yourself a lot of targets and dreams and that sort of thing. But when you kind of get closer to the time of when these things are happening, you, I guess, can't afford to look too far ahead, and you've got to take care of the details that happen before then. So, I guess, you know, my blinkers are on a little bit in terms of looking at doing what I can do for the Constellation Cup series, putting out my best performance there. Hopefully I'll be selected to go to the tour in January as well, and then that'll be blinkers on for that, and really focus on putting in my best for that, and then hopefully, you know, fingers crossed I'll be there for the Com Games. It's everybody's dream in terms of the netball stuff, but the Com Games and the World Champs are our biggest tournaments. So we're, I think there's a bit of hype around that, and especially having the Com Games being in our home country.
Well, Coach Alexander was one of our early subjects on Gold Coast Goal. She's an avid listener to the program. I reckon she'd like all your answers, Caitlin. So I think you've probably ticked that box for the time being of keeping the coach happy.
If only it were that simple.
I'll put in a good word for you. Just a reminder, if you are in Adelaide or in Sydney, October 11, the Diamonds are in action in Adelaide, and in Sydney on October 14, you can get your tickets for the Constellation Cup at netball.com.au. Caitlin, thanks very much for your time. Really enjoyed the chat, and we wish you all the very best on the road to the Gold Coast.
Awesome. Thanks very much.
Caitlin Thwaites there. That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. So until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.